Hello and welcome to Straightforward live at the AI Expo. We're so excited that you're here. Straightforward, as I suppose you might know, is a podcast about Taiwan, the island at the center of technological innovation and the global fight for democracy. My name is Channing Lee.
And I'm Libby Lang. And we just, I don't know if anyone was here, but we just had a really inspiring panel with the Vice President of Taiwan. Actually, BKim Hsiao was able to join us virtually this morning, and I think get the expo and the exchange off on a really great, you know, both inspiring and an energizing note when it comes to sort of how technology can make our nations more secure and more competitive, which is really what, of course, the expo and SESP are all about. And I think we wanted to kind of follow on that energy with our guest today, Jiayou Guo. She is the founder and president of Taiwan's Digital Diplomacy Association. And we're so glad you could join us today.
Thank you for having me.
So the topic for our conversation today is digital diplomacy, right? We've talked a little bit about in our previous episodes how Taiwan, given its very unique geopolitical situation, must have a very tough time conducting diplomacy abroad, right? Taiwan has only 12 countries that formally recognize it as a country, and that does not include the United States. So diplomacy is already hard with countries that recognize you. Diplomacy is definitely a lot harder when most of the world does not recognize Taiwan as a formal country. But there are tech solutions to everything, as you know better than we do, Jiayou. And of course, we're at the AI Expo and we want to discuss all these tech solutions and the creativity that you and your organization have used to solve these problems. So can you start by introducing yourself to our audience and your organization?
Okay. Hello, everyone. I'm Jiayou from Taiwan Digital Diplomacy Association, and we are a nonprofit organization established in 2017. And we believe that international relations is not only about government, it's also about people to people. So TDDA, in the past few years, we've worked really hard on connecting Taiwan with the international communities. And also we are training Taiwanese young people to tell our stories online. And it's because we see that internet is like a field that has no borders, that where we are not oppressed by Chinese pressures. And also it's a free space for us to convey who we really are and what Taiwan can contribute to the world. So we call ourselves digital diplomacy.
I feel like a theme of our guests so far is that you were doing things kind of before they were cool or trendy. You know, you said you started this in 2017. Yes. I don't think I had heard of the term digital diplomacy, you know, back then, but obviously, you know, you are thinking about it. And I'm curious sort of what that spark was. What made you decide you wanted to do it at that time?
Yeah, I think our association might be the first one who talk about digital diplomacy in Taiwan. And the turning point might be a bit unexpected because I actually established this association in Kosovo. I lived in Kosovo before, and back to the time, I was thinking a lot about how to connect Taiwan with like-minded countries, especially those countries who are also struggling with international recognitions, like Kosovo. So I think Kosovo might be a good place to start. And when I was living there, in Kosovo, I worked with local people, and I also, I participated in many events, and I also joined many discussions. I was very amazed about how proactive are the young people there, because I found Kosovo young people, they are very creative, and they were not only waiting for permission there. They were always out there and organizing events, connecting international organizations or raising their country's profile to be seen in the world and to be heard. So I think Taiwan, we have a lot to learn from that spirit. So that's why I think digital diplomacy might give us a new way to do the same. We try to connect and build global friendship from the ground up.
And if I can ask, what made you choose Kosovo of all places?
Kosovo, because I studied in Hungary before, and I have my Balkan round trip before my graduations. And also, I see Kosovo is a similar, like they have similar political situation like Taiwan. And back to 2017, it was about the 10th anniversary of Kosovo, of in their independence. So I was very, very curious. I just fly there, buy a flight tickets. I fly there.
Wow. Okay.
For a year. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really neat. And I think very unique to have someone from Taiwan be traveling to Kosovo and learning all this. So that was super cool. So kind of to describe a little bit more about the work that you do as an organization, can you tell us, you know, what was your favorite project? And what country was that in? What was your goal? And did you achieve success?
You mean how we see successful digital diplomacy?
Yeah, I'm curious, like, if you could give an example, yeah.
We have a project like, in Norway, we have a campaign. It's called My Name, My Rights. It was actually led by a group of Taiwanese who live in Norway. They organized this campaign because, they want to protest to Norwegian government to change our nationality, because Norwegian government, they changed our nationality into China. So, the Taiwanese, they want to change their nationality back to Taiwan, official documents. This campaign was actually, a bit large in Taiwan because some Taiwanese, in Norway, they even put this case into European human rights courts. And at TDDA, how we participated, it was like, we'd help this, group, to organize some online campaigns. And also we opened, Norwegian fan page. And we had a colleague happen to speak the language back to the time.
Wow.
And we also train volunteers, how to reach out to international medias. And at the end, we are very lucky that we got, 13 media exposures around Europe at the end. I think this case, it shows, good examples about what we are doing because there are a lot of Taiwanese abroad. They want to do something, but they don't know how to reach out to international media or they don't know how to promote the ideas to the local communities. So, these campaigns, we try to help them also build capacity with the, group. And I think this case really shows that, it is the way that how we stand up for ourselves, to ask for the rights. And it's also not only about, what the documents say, it's also because, who we really are and if we are really be seen and be respected as who we really are.
Yeah. Yeah, that's super, super cool. So thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
I know you've also done projects in countries that might not be as like-minded. Of course, Norway, you've done projects in Lithuania and other very like-minded countries, right? And especially countries in, especially, you know, that in Eastern Europe and Northern Europe, where they understand all of these challenges given their big neighbor up in the north. I remember you had also done a project in Vietnam.
Yes.
Vietnam is obviously a little bit different in terms of their geopolitical situation. Become better friends with the U.S. actually in the last few years, surprisingly. But in terms of the big, broad U.S.-China tech competition, right, they might be more in the middle. So I'm wondering, you know, why did you think it was really important to also do a project in Vietnam? And if you can tell us a little bit about that project.
Yeah, actually, Taiwan has many cooperation with Vietnam society, but I would say not a lot of Vietnamese people have positive image about Taiwan. So back to 2019, I also went to Vietnam to live a year. And back then, I was doing a project about connecting, the medical industry of Taiwan and Vietnam. For example, there was always some Taiwanese medical groups. They will travel to Vietnam and provide, free surgeries for children or for local people. But, usually the local people, they are not very clear about, this medical team. They come from Taiwan or, they would rather choose maybe Singapore or, South Korea to do, their medical service. So, in 2019, I connected some, doctors in Vietnam and also some doctors in Taiwan. And we filmed, some online medical shows together. We say that, Taiwan actually, we can share, a lot of service, from our side. And also, we appreciate Vietnam. They also build a lot of trust with us. So the medical shows, apart from the medical shows, we also did some infographics and people shares this a lot. And while they are sharing the information, they were also seeing the corporations of Taiwan and Vietnam in the social media posts. So this is the other way that we do digital diplomacy. And Vietnam is also a bit special because we don't want to talk about too much politics in Vietnam.
I was going
to
ask that, actually.
I even changed my business card name when I went there. I feel like I was, but It's like, we are doing people to people diplomacy. I think the most important is about the content. Yeah. So we try to avoid problems when we are doing things in different countries. Yeah.
Wow. Sure. Does that make measuring success difficult when you're thinking about that, when you're working in a more apolitical environment? Yeah.
You mean in Vietnam?
Yeah.
I think it's not more difficult. Just, when you are talking with people, you got to be more careful. But I would say Vietnamese people, they are quite, passionate and are willing to share on social media, which is good for us. So our content got virus very easily because, they really want to share with their friends or family about some medical knowledge. So, I would say how we measure our success in Vietnam is by the shares and how many people we reach out.
Okay. So you heard it here first. Please share this on your social media so that we become a success as well.
Thank you.
But for those who don't know, Jiayou, outside of her work with TDDA, which is, of course, you know, sending her around the world on all kinds of trips, she's also a member of Taiwan's Whole of Society Defense Resilience Committee. And for those who weren't able to join the vice president's remarks earlier, this is a really major initiative by the Lai administration that is trying to get Taiwan society more ready for really whatever may come, whether that is a national security situation, whether that is a natural disaster, just making sure that society is resilient across sort of all the areas that you need it to be. And of course, you're involved with this. And digital literacy, interestingly, has been identified as one kind of pillar of resilience. And I'm one of the really important parts of that. And you have so much to offer, I imagine, given your experience. I'm curious, when you're thinking about what it means for an average Taiwanese person to be digitally prepared.
Okay.
Like, what does that look like? What do they need to be able to do?
I think maybe I can introduce a bit about what is the Whole Society Defense Resilience Committee. It's super long.
Yeah, we need to come up with an acronym. We're taking suggestions.
Yes. This committee, it is platforms created I think last September. And the purpose is to bring together the governments and the civil society to have a better strategy to react during emergencies or natural crisis. They also invited 27 members from different fields to strengthen different systems like finance, logistics, and especially digital infrastructures. And for me, I think digital resilience or digital readiness is more about how to help people knowing more about the scenarios of digital threats. In a more practical way, not only in theory. I think it's also about how to develop the skills to maintain and to build trusted communication networks. Because I think in Taiwan, Taiwanese people have a tendency that oversimplify the situation of cyber attacks. People might think, oh, some hackers will hack our websites or steal our passwords. But actually, it can be more serious and sometimes even more aggressive, such as cognitive warfare. It can influence elections, public opinions, and make people against our government and sometimes even the U.S. government. So I would give examples about how difficult is the situations in Taiwan. For example, last month we had a Taiwanese delegation to Geneva. Mm-hmm. They were participating in a WHO campaign. They want Taiwan to join WHO. But during the week when the Taiwanese delegation were there, a lot of members received phishing emails. It's very targeted.
Interesting.
And the email's contents are very customized. So some people click on it. They didn't know it was a phishing emails. There are some waves about AI generated contents, in Taiwan. It's just rising these days. The most popular video this week was about, the UN allowed Taiwan to join, the UN.
Oh, wow. I think okay. You see that in mainstream media. It did happen.
Yeah. It's a fake video, but, millions of Taiwanese people watch it already. So, I would say that the situation in Taiwan is quite complicated. But I think, to prepare the society, be more ready for, digital threats. is to help people respond more effectively. And also, I think it's not only about technical skills or technical know-hows. It's more about building the awareness and resilience to help people stay connected, informed, and supportive to one another during crisis.
Yeah, that all sounds great. And we face the same threats here in the U.S. or challenges, yeah, I would say. So maybe you could do a digital diplomacy in the U.S. as well to help us all understand our cybersecurity challenges and the other digital challenges. No, but that's really, really cool. We're wondering, you know, you've obviously started this organization in 2017, 2018. It's been a few years and the digital space has really changed, right? As you've just outlined in terms of some of the threats and the challenges. What is kind of next? You know, what are you looking forward to in the next 5 years, maybe toward the end of the decade? What are some of the goals you have as an organization? And do you have any cool projects coming up that you can share with us?
I think the reason I did this organization, it was because I do believe that international relations is a key to protecting Taiwan, because like we are kind of in a emergency situations now, since a lot of trends showing that Taiwan and China might have some real conflicts in the near futures. So I think the first priority for us is to put Taiwan into the discussion with our global democratic alliance, because international relations for Taiwan is not only something nice to have. It's something about our survival. So I think it's really a matters to encourage more Taiwanese to think about our international relations, and also to put our agenda into global discussions. I think that for Taiwan, it's like international relations sometimes might feel a bit difficult, but actually we have many topics that we can contribute to the global challenges. For example, cybersecurity, digital resilience, or disinformation. These are something we are willing to share. And we hope that when people talk about Taiwan, they can see us as an active contributor, not as an issue. We think that international relations between Taiwan and the world should be built by shared values and trust and ongoing cooperations, because international support cannot just come at the moment when we are under crisis. It should be ongoing. It should be prepared beforehand. So I think that the most important thing is that we have to keep finding a creative way to connect Taiwan with the global communities and keep the discussions alive. And also, I hope that maybe in these recent years, when people start to talk about Taiwan, they not only think of geopolitics, they can only think about maybe there is a friend from Taiwan they have collaborated with, or there is a story have touched them, or some value they share with us. And I also appreciate this podcast give us some space to raise our voice. And I hope that we can make Taiwan more relatable and more human. I think it would be a successful image for me that what digital diplomacy should look like.
Wow. No, I mean, that is really kind of the exact goal of this podcast, is to bring those conversations out. But obviously, you know, you've already done so much on that front. I really like that concept of making Taiwan relatable to people, because I and maybe you can relate. I often get asked when I talk about having lived there and how much I care about it, people will say, well, why should I care? And I think that sometimes is a hard question to answer, because it comes off as kind of like, not flippant, but I think like making Taiwan relatable is a good place to start, and sort of why it should matter to all of us.
So we're happy to contribute to your digital diplomacy here at the AI Expo.
Yeah, and of course we are at the Expo, so we can't go without asking you a question about AI and how you see that impacting your work. I'm sure, you know, it's coming in some way, but I'm curious how you see it in the world of digital diplomacy.
Yeah, I think AI kind of help us to break the boundaries of language. And I believe in the future, the language barriers will be lower and lower. So the key of using AI is to really is to really understand each other. I mean, people to people, we open our heart and understand each other's and to know more about what is the core values of our cultures and choose the right topics to produce some contents or to host events. So I think AI, it did help, but also influence our work. I'm still trying to figure out how to keep the balance, like there are both negative and positive ways of AI. But I believe that AI will make the world closer to each others. And it is all about like how much we want to understand each other. It will bring us closer together.
Optimism. I like that. Well, we are kind of running against time here, okay. But we do want to ask you our last, final, very fun question.
Yes.
So those listeners of Straightforward, hopefully you've been able to pick up some really good recommendations about Taiwan over the last few episodes that we've done. But again, in the spirit of bringing Taiwan to a larger audience, you know, we just discussed making Taiwan relatable or, you know, ways in which people can understand Taiwan just from any walk of life, right? So what would you recommend our audience check out to get a better understanding of Taiwan?
I want to recommend this book, Taiwan Travelogue. It's a popular book in Taiwan, now in New York and also in Taiwan, because it just won the National Book Award last year in the US.
Wow.
It was kind of a milestone for Taiwan literature. I want to introduce that this story is actually, the background is about Japanese colonial time. And if you read this book, it will understand more about maybe how our history shaped the personality, how our language, or even how we see ourselves. And I would say this is not only a novel, it's a powerful way to have a closer look about Taiwan. And also, I think if you are looking for a more emotional way or a more human way to understand Taiwan, I think this is a beautiful place to start.
Oh, that's a great recommendation. I am in the market for a new book. So I'm very excited about this.
Thank you for the recommendation. Thank you for joining us here. Thank you to the audience for sitting here and you know, having this conversation with us together. I think you really highlighted how, you know, bright and early at the AI Expo, technology really could be a force multiplier for all the challenges that we face. It could be something that can solve some of our challenges and you know, just the energy that comes out of Taiwan. It's really inspiring that that idea also came from your experience in Kosovo, right? And so we're thinking about how people in Taiwan and all over the world are trying to use digital solutions to really amplify their messages. And so we, again, thank you for being here. Thank you to our audience.
Yeah,
thank
and you. Before we go, I know, Jiao, you have more programming later on at the Expo. I don't know if you want to plug it here for our audience if they want to hear more from you.
Okay. I think my session will be on June 4th at 12 to 1:30 or 2 o'clock. On June 4th, I'm going to share about how AI influence our society by Chinese propaganda, because there are a lot of AI generated content, I think quite serious but interesting somehow. I would like to share with you and also about the digital resilience in Taiwan. We are facing some sea cable challenges as well, so I will be sharing this digital resilience and also cognitive warfare about Taiwan and how it will influence the US government and society as well, June 4th. So if you are interested, to join my session.
Amazing. Well, I know I will be there. So hopefully if some of you are there, I would love to say hi as well.
And we look straight forward to seeing you next time.
Thank you so much.